Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. And joining us now is Zach McCrary, who's a partner at ALG Research based in Montgomery, Alabama, who has served as a pollster and strategist for members of Congress, mayors, state legislative caucuses, and public interest groups. Previously, he served as a communications director for the Alabama Democratic Party. Welcome to Background Briefing, Zach McCrary.
Thanks so much.
And this investigative piece just released by the Washington Post, woman says Roy Moore initiated sexual encounter when she was 14. He was 32. It seems to have exploded as a story. And I've never seen the U.S. Senate respond so quickly. And John McCain calls the report disqualifying, saying that Moore should immediately quit the race. And other Republican senators have said if the allegations are true, he should step down. And that includes Jeff Flake of Arizona, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, not entirely surprising there, but David Perdue of Georgia and the senior senator in Moore's home state where you are in Alabama, Richard Shelby, also says that. So what do you make of that?
This is a very big deal. This is a very big deal. It's often difficult to assess the scope of an issue like this in the moment, but I do believe this is a very big deal. When you look at scandal-plagued Republicans who have lost in Republican red states in the recent past, Todd Akin in Missouri, or Richard Murdoch in Indiana, both who lost U.S. Senate seats in 2012 at the same time that their states were being carried by Mitt Romney, both of those Republican nominees had made very deeply offensive comments about abortion and rape comments. You know, that's rhetoric, extreme offensive rhetoric compared to what Moore is charged with here. The report of Moore committing sexual abuse of a 14-year-old, certainly a night and day difference. But it took Republicans days, weeks, to distance themselves fully from a Todd Akin, from a Richard Murdoch. We see that within minutes, Republicans started distancing themselves from Roy Moore, which I think speaks to how dramatic this disclosure is and how disqualifying it is, not just for politicians, but how disqualifying I believe it will be for Alabama voters.
Well, you know, I've often thought that Stephen Bannon has been way out of his depths and has been given so much publicity as some kind of strategic guru and genius. And my sense is if you pick people like Roy Moore as your political vanguard for the future, or Chemtrails Kelly, as she's called, the woman he's running against in Jeff Flake's seat, effectively they forced Jeff Flake out. It just seems to me that extraordinary that this is the quality of people that are going to bring about the new American Revolution and get rid of the administrative state. Do you think this is also going to be a black eye for Bannon?
It should be. It absolutely should be. And I would say in Bannon has been a, his strategic skills, I think, are questionable, but his PR skills, I think, are admirable. And in Alabama, Bannon just got in front of the Roy Moore parade at the last minute. Bannon has tried to take credit for Roy Moore when Roy Moore, had a head of steam, and Roy Moore would have won without Bannon doing anything for Roy Moore in the state. And so, in that respect, Bannon, I think, is taking credit. Took credit for that he did not deserve for the reemergence of Roy Moore in Alabama, but it feels like that is going to bite Bannon for the very reasons you articulate, with Roy Moore being a deep embarrassment not just to the state of Alabama, which I believe he is, but discrediting any political movement in which that embraces Roy Moore, which includes the Bannon version of the Republican Party.
And again, I'm speaking with Zach McCrary, who's a partner at ALG Research based in Montgomery, Alabama. He served as a pollster and strategist for members of Congress, mayors, state legislative caucuses, and public interest groups, and previously served as a communications director for the Alabama Democratic Party. Now, of course, Roy Moore, in a written statement to the Washington Post, denied the story and said these allegations are completely false and are a desperate political attack by the National Democratic Party and the Washington Post on his campaign. You're there down in Alabama. Does this have anything to do with Doug Jones, the Democrat who's running against him? Is there any? I can't imagine. As far as I can tell, the Washington Post sent reporters down there. They've done a very thorough job. There's an awful lot of detail in this investigative report. There are four women involved, all of whom claim that Roy Moore made inappropriate advances to them when they were very young and he was in his 30s. The youngest, of course, that we're talking about here, who's where he's really in trouble, is Lee Kaufman. She was 14 when he tried to seduce her and gave her alcohol and took her clothes off. 14, and now the age of consent in Alabama is 16. I believe the other three were 16 when he dated them, but still, a guy in his 30s dating a 16-year-old, that doesn't sound right.
No, listen, I think people can see through this. We've been through this. We've seen this before, you know, in the last several weeks with several high-profile sexual predators, you know, being exposed. Alabama voters have been through this in the last couple of years where we had a scandal-plagued governor brought down who resigned office due to a sex scandal within the last year, who initially blamed his political enemies for these, you know, rumors, who denied all of these allegations until the facts became so apparent that he fled from office in disgrace. So Alabama voters are not suckers. Roy Moore, you know, is, you know, might think Alabama voters are suckers. Alabama voters are not dupes. You know, Alabama voters can see through this. The facts are the facts. This is a very well-researched piece. The victim, the then 14-year-old victim, is now a Republican who voted for Donald Trump. These are not political attacks. This is the weight of years of misdeeds, of crimes, perhaps in some instances of crimes coming back to bite Roy Moore, and he's going to have to live with the consequences.
So the MO for Roy Moore was, and this is when he was an assistant district attorney, in his early 30s, was to wander around the Gadsden Mall and pick up these young women. I think three of them actually worked there in the mall in different shops. But the most incriminating one of all being the 14-year-old, Lee Kaufman, who, as you mentioned, is a Republican and voted for Trump. He arranged for her to be picked up by him in his car around the block so that her mother wouldn't see her. I mean, and then he took her to his house in the woods and took her clothes off, gave her alcohol and lay on top of her. And, well, I don't need to go into any further details, but the MO seems to be that of a sexual predator hanging out at the Gadsden Mall.
Yeah, I mean, certainly there seems to be a pattern, right? I mean, a pattern that the report verified with independent sources. I think from what I read, the multiple people who have made these, multiple women who have told their stories or independent of each other, tell a very similar story. Even under the most favorable light, Roy Moore has always been a very unusual person. Roy Moore disappeared from the state in the 80s, I believe, 80s, early 90s, to go to Australia to work as a cowboy. So, he's a very unusual person. I think perhaps this fills in some blanks as to what his MO is, as to why, fleshes out, some of the things that have always seemed to make more such an unusual person, an unorthodox politician, obviously in a much more sinister way than we have known up till now.
Well, but the whole point of this, surely, Zach McCrary, is that we wouldn't be talking about this if this man wasn't such a devout Christian and didn't wear his religion on his sleeve and wasn't an aggressive Christian proselytizer who put up the Ten Commandments in front of the courthouse and fought the all the way to the Supreme Court and even defied the Supreme Court. This wouldn't be a story or wouldn't be an issue. I mean, nobody wants to go after somebody on the basis of their religion. But when you wear your religion on the sleeve, and then it turns out, in terms of these allegations, you try to seduce a 14-year-old girl, which is certainly a violation of one of the Ten Commandments, I think he's fair game, isn't he?
No, I mean, I'm not sure. I think I disagree on the fact that I think any person who has committed some of the, again, we're talking about actual crimes, you know, sexual
sure.
abuse is the crime, you know, at state. I think it's fair game for anyone who, you know, is in those similar shoes. I do think it certainly cuts to the quick more when it comes to Roy Moore. It's so contrary to his core brand. But, you know, at the same time, he's always been, you know, again, I don't know exactly how this, you know, plays out politically, but Roy Moore has always been a politician that repeatedly embarrassed the state of Alabama. And here he is again embarrassing the state of Alabama at a time when the state is at the epicenter of the nation's political discussion. Here we go again with Roy Moore.
Well, the distinction I would make, Zach, and obviously this is a crime if it's proven, a 14-year-old girl, and the age of consent being 16 is pretty low to begin with in Alabama, but that is a crime, unquestionably. The point I was trying to make is look at the difference between Roy Moore and Donald Trump. Donald Trump effectively got away with bragging on camera that he could grab women by their genitals and get away with it. I think he got away with it because, you know, he didn't set such a high moral bar. He never pretended to be saintly, whereas Roy Moore pretends to be saintly, does he not?
No, certainly that you know, he has put himself above the law. He says he answers to God, not to the U.S. Supreme Court, not even to the Alabama voters. So he certainly has created an image unto himself as a hyper, you know, religious figure, you know, almost a cult-like figure among those who support him, and it certainly does, make the hypocrisy angle even more alarming. And again, we've seen this, you know, unfortunately, we've been through this before, seeing this pattern of abuse by, you know, religious figures, you know, over the last several years, and so it does feel like a pattern we've seen before, and certainly, you know, it is not the first time we've seen the most religious evangelical conservative type figures among us. Many times have skeletons in their closet. Here, this time, you know, not just personal foibles, but, you know, breaking the law, allegedly committing sexual abuse against a 14-year-old.
Well, Zach McCrary, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Yes, thanks for your time.
And again, I've been speaking with Zach McCrary, who's a partner at ALG Research based in Montgomery, Alabama, who has served as a pollster and strategist for members of Congress, mayors, state legislative caucuses, and public interest groups. And previously, he served as the communications director for the Alabama Democratic Party. We're going to take a brief station break and back speaking with a veteran CIA analyst about the possibility that Trump's head of the CIA could sabotage the Mueller investigation.